Welcome to the New Generation Church Podcast. We're so glad you're here. Whether you're a regular or a first-time listener, we hope today's message fills you with hope and inspiration. NGC is a place where people can come together to grow in their faith, learn from one another, and support each other through life's challenges by living out the Word of God. We believe in sharing the love of Jesus in everything we do, and we're excited to bring that love to you through our podcast. Let's dive into today's message. We hope you enjoy.
For our reading today, Matthew chapter 5, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. So good to see you all this morning. Amen. Give it up for our praise and worship ministry. Amen. 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 Somebody says, I can't clap because I got one Bible in one hand. And what are you telling me to do, Pastor? Which one you want me to do? Amen. Well, just give God a shout of hallelujah. How about that? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. If you're in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, just lift up your voices like a trumpet and say amen. Amen. Praise God. The words of the Bible read as follows. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle or the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This morning, people of God, I want to speak with you on a new series called Kingdom Culture. Kingdom Culture, living out of this world. Give your neighbor a fist pound as you take your seat and tell him that I'm living out of this world. Living out of this world. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his holy word. Amen. We begin this teaching today on what it means to be a part of a kingdom culture. And anytime we talk about a kingdom, we have to acknowledge who the king of that kingdom is. In this particular sense, we're speaking of none other than Jesus the Christ, the God-man, the one who would come to take away the sins of the world. And we find in this particular passage of scripture that he's introducing us to what is called or known as the Beatitudes. Now, we're going to walk through this, but we're going to specifically focus on verse 3 because I learned and found in my learning that if we can't get past verse 3, then none of the others will matter. In verse 1, it begins by saying this, and I'm going to get right into it. It says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them. So notice that Jesus, he's sitting on the mountain. It's called the Mount of Beatitudes, one of the most beautiful places on earth overlooking the Sea of Galilee. If you go there today, there's representation of where Jesus actually ministered this message, but there's a crowd. Somebody say crowd. there's a crowd following Jesus. If you back up to Matthew chapter 4, you'll find where Jesus, he begins to call his disciples. He's beginning to launch his earthly ministry. And early in his earthly ministry, he begins to heal people. The Bible tells us that he heals them of all types of diseases. He even deals with the demoniac. He casts out demons in people, and his disciples are there witnessing and watching all of this. So they're watching this, and a crowd, somebody say a crowd. Crowd came from everywhere. They came from the north, they came from the south, they came from the east, and they came from the west. They were made up of all ethnic groups, and they came to hear the Messiah, because not only was he preaching the gospel, but it was being represented in the works that were being demonstrated. He healed all diseases. There was not a disease that showed up that he did not heal. And it drew a crowd. Well, the crowd got so large that he had to reposition himself for the purpose of ministering to his disciples. Now, remember the word disciple, as we talked about in our previous series, that word simply means one who is disciplined in the things of God. These are learners. These are men who came together, and Jesus was their teacher. He was their Lord, and he was the Messiah, the one who would come to fulfill Scripture, and he positions himself right on the Mount of Beatitudes by the Sea of Galilee, and the Bible tells us that he begins to open his mouth. Now, one might think that after you got through casting out demons and healing folks, that you're going to begin the sermon message talking about that. But he doesn't talk about that. He goes right into the Beatitudes. And we're going to park here for a little while, because when we talk about a kingdom culture, when we talk about a way of living as God's people, it is represented best here in what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5 through 7, deals with the Sermon on the Mount, which is Jesus' longest message in the Bible. Jesus preached the message. If you read it from start to finish, it takes about 10 minutes. And I said, man, I can't wait till I get to that place where I can preach a message for 10 minutes and then walk away and don't have to say anything else, just drop the mic and keep walking. But Jesus preached a message. It takes you about 10 minutes to read it. We're going to be in it for the next few weeks. And people walked away amazed. But notice, as I give you some things here to consider, notice what it says in verse number 3. It says, blessed. Now, let me stop there for a minute. How many of y'all want to be blessed? How many of y'all are blessed? All right, I see you, man. We love it. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we are blessed. And there's nobody in this church, as I look around even right now, and our kids are in children's church, there's nobody in this church who's not blessed. You don't sound like it. Amen. But notice what he says here. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, notice this word. Let's talk about this word blessed. I want to define the word blessed. And there are many definitions of the word blessed, but the word blessed in the Greek, that word is makarios. Makarios. And that word simply means, it means happy and spiritually prosperous. It means happy and spiritually prosperous with joy, life joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation. Watch this. Regardless of outward circumstances. You're blessed. Watch this, people of God. Regardless of what's going on in your life, you are blessed. Now, go ahead and give him praise if you're going to give him praise. Jesus begins the teaching by saying, blessed. He says, you're blessed. You're spiritually prosperous in the things of God, regardless of outward circumstances. Anybody here this morning dealing with some outward circumstances? And anybody, regardless of what you're going through, you can still tell even the enemy who may be causing the outward circumstances that I'm still blessed. See, blessed people are not blessed predicated upon what's happening, because that would introduce us to a word called happiness, which indicates that I'm only blessed when something is going right in my life. But kingdom people who make up the kingdom culture, regardless of what's going on in their lives, they wake up every morning saying that they're blessed. Do I got some blessed people in this place today? And the way you know you're blessed is because you're breathing. The way you know you're blessed is because you were able to get up this morning and put on your own clothes. The way you know you're blessed is because you passed by the gas station. You didn't have to get gas because you got enough gas in your car to get to the house of God to give him praise. Is there a witness in this place today? Somebody saying, well, my light on, Pastor, but you still got gas. Some people walking, they don't even have a car to drive. Somebody say blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. This word, makarios, it's hard to translate the word blessed into our modern day English, but as a definition, and you're going to continue to hear this as we are part of the kingdom culture, if we're in Christ Jesus, it means that you're happy from the standpoint of being spiritually prosperous. And you're not only that, but you are happy and prosperous with joy and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of outward circumstances. You remember what the psalmist taught us. He said in Psalms 1:1, you remember this. He says, how blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the wicked or the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scorner of the scoffers. Did you know you're a blessed people when you don't take counsel from ungodly people? You want to be blessed? Stop listening to the people who are in your life who are giving you ungodly counsel. You got to know for yourself that that's not of God, and that is not going to bless me, the counsel that you're giving me. So I got to change the station, because you're not on the station that I'm on. And see, when you're blessed, when you're in the kingdom culture, everybody don't want to be a part of the culture that you're a part of. That's why Jesus had to start with this as he was ministering to his disciples. He was speaking to them, but he was in an amphitheater type of atmosphere, and his words traveled to all those multitudes of people who were there, and they were hearing Jesus speak. Man, I want to hear what Jesus got to say about it. I appreciate what you're saying, but what did Jesus say my attitude should be while I'm here on the earth? Notice these are, as we get into these, they're the Beatitudes, not the do attitudes. See, when you're part of the culture, when you have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit now takes residence inside of you, and all you got to learn to do is just be. You don't have to force the Spirit to do anything. You just allow him to be who he needs to be in you. And the first thing you need to learn to do, you and me, is we got to be poor in spirit. And I recognize in studying this, I was like, Lord, none of the others are going to make sense. None of the other seven are even going to work for us if we first do not recognize that we are poor in spirit. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? I'm so glad you asked. There's a quote by a man by the name of Eugene Peterson, and he says this. He says, self-made and self-sufficient people live in a fantasy world, empty of the reality of God. In contrast, the poor in spirit are deeply aware of being made, God made, and God sufficient. people who are self-sufficient, who believe that they are the ones who are in control. They are the ones who are calling the shots. They are the ones who are manifesting things they need to be manifested. They are in a fantasy world. Now, when we talk about being poor in spirit, notice this. The word spirit, the Greek word is the word pneuma, and is that which makes you up from the inside out. And your spirit has to be born again, and it can only be born again when the Holy Spirit comes and takes residence in your heart. That's the only thing. In other words, you become a dead person walking if the Spirit of God is not alive in you. You are poor and don't even know it. Now, let me clarify this. I'm going to get to this later. But when I say poor, right now, I want you to get your minds off monetary living. I'm not talking about what it means to be poor in the monetary sense. And there's a revelation of the difference in terms of what this verse even means and how it's been taught. There's such a thing where people have taught this verse, and they will tell you that you got to be poor in order to poor financially in order to really get close to Jesus. And that's a fallacy. Okay, that's not true at all. So I want you to get your minds right now off what it means to be poor financially, because Jesus is not talking about here what it means to be poor financially. He's talking about what it means to be poor spiritually. You remember the rich young ruler? That man was, I mean, he had everything he needed. And some of us, watch this now, we say the same thing. We say, when I get, I will be. When I get another job, I'm going to be happy. When I get my marriage in order, I'm going to be happy. When I find such and such, and you fill in the blank of whatever that is, and what we don't realize is, regardless of all that, that your joy and your happiness is not predicated on what's going on the outside, it's already what's in you. And then the power of that is, and why Jesus was teaching this, he says, when we get a culture of people who can come in and change the culture, amen, be not conformed to this world. You got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We can't adopt the world system as believers who are part of the kingdom culture. We got to recognize that, wait a minute, I'm blessed because there's a king in my kingdom and there's no lack in his kingdom. And watch this. And then we become examples and ensamples to the world of how to live for God. See, the problem is this. The problem is this. Watch this now. Too many people, they don't realize and recognize that they've been blessed by God. So what they do is now they live lives that emulate the world. And you can't tell the difference between how they're living and how worldly people are living. And these people, when they try to pull people out of the world, they cannot pull them out because they've been living so much like the world that there's no distinction or difference. So when we talk about how good God is, they're looking at us and saying, wait a minute, you're living just like me. What are you talking about? We gotta understand that we're blessed people, a kingdom people, we live differently. We got to recognize that, man, I'm poor in spirit. I'm spiritually bankrupt. I'm bankrupt. Amen. I'm not going to ask your hand if you ever filed for bankruptcy, but you know what bankruptcy is. Amen. Keep your hands down. I'm not here to learn about that. But when you're spiritually bankrupt, that means that I don't even have the resources to accommodate or to pay for what I'm trying to pay for. So I got to file bankruptcy. And when you approach God, watch this now. Every morning you wake up, you got to recognize that whatever you got in you didn't come from you. It didn't come from anybody else. It came from the Father of lights. It came from the Father above. And Lord, without you pouring it into me, I am bankrupt. I'm broke. I'm poor. And I can't do anything without you. Anybody ever been in that place and you're still in that place right now? Don't ever think you arrived to a place where you begin to put God to the side. No, you wake up every morning, my next breath, my next thought, my next application that comes, Lord, it comes from you and from you alone. You got to learn to live spiritually bankrupt. That's why Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Lord, I'm spiritually bankrupt. Being poor in spirit means that we recognize that we are not spiritually sufficient. We need the Holy Spirit's life, power, and sustaining grace in order to inherit God's kingdom. Lord, I cannot do it without your spirit. I can't love people like you're asking me to love them. I can't give to people like you're asking me to give to them. I can't even learn to live poor unless you come in and shake some things up. Oh, man, anybody ever been shaken up? Anybody being shaken up right now? See, when we're poor in spirit, it should sound like this. It should sound like this. He or she was poor that he or she had to put his or her whole trust in God. Your whole trust in God. Oh, how blessed is the man or woman who is so poor that he or she has to put their whole trust in God. I'm talking about being a beggar. Being a beggar. You wake up every morning, Lord, I cannot take another step. I'm poor this morning, Lord God. And I need to be filled. Now, the reason, watch this now. Again, get out of the money for a minute, because people who have taught that theology where the poorer you are, the more humble you will be. Well, I done met some mean poor folks. Anybody ever come across some mean poor folks before? Amen. And you meet some mean poor folks, and man, you like, man, maybe I can't help you then. Maybe I just need to pray for you. All right? So it's not predicated upon finances. It's predicated upon our spirit. Anyone who desires, watch this now, to be a part of the kingdom culture or to be a part of God's kingdom must be guided by God's ways and values revealed in the scriptures and not by the ways and values of the world. There is a kingdom culture and there is a worldly culture. Remember what John taught us? He says, all that is in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He said, that's what's in the world, and that's what you see in the world, but you shouldn't see that in the kingdom culture. You shouldn't see that represented in people who are poor in spirit. It should look differently. It should look differently. I'm going to help you out this morning. We humble ourselves, or we should humble ourselves, recognizing that without him, we are spiritually poor. As a result, our authentic humility before God, it births something in us. Watch this. The call to be poor in spirit is the very first beatitude. What's the first one, beatitude? Nope, I can't hear you. What's it, to be what? To be poor in spirit. What's the first beatitude? Called to be poor in spirit. It's the very first one, because you're not going to be able to do the others until you come to that conclusion. We cannot be fulfilled by our own strength, but only by a beggar's reliance on God's power. No one can mourn until they are first poor in spirit. No one is meek towards God or towards other until they're first poor in spirit. If you don't sense your own need, and spiritual poverty, you will never hunger and thirst for righteousness. And if you have too high a view of yourself, you will always find it difficult to be merciful towards others. Watch this now. Here it is. Here it is. I know y'all get tired of hearing this, but I'm gonna say it till the Lord returns. The biggest problem is not realizing that you're the biggest problem. Somebody saying, I ain't coming back to this church because the pastor told me that I am a problem. The biggest problem is not realizing that we are the biggest problem. Jesus has come to deal with this thing of being poor. Remember what he said in Luke 4:18? He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He started with the poor. He says, I got to come to those who think they got it going on, and I got to let them know what John said over there in John 15, verse 5. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He said, wait a minute, don't get it twisted. He said, it won't be no branches if it wasn't no vine. I am the branch. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. I abide in you and you abide in me. And because of that, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do. He says, apart from me, people, you can do absolutely nothing. You're just a poor, rotting branch. And you got the nerve to think that you got it going on. Poor in spirit means those who are not spiritually arrogant. Here we go. Watch this now. Hang on now. Find yourself in this. If you're poor in spirit, that means that you're not spiritually arrogant. The opposite of poor in spirit is pride. Being too proud. And what you got to understand about pride is God hates pride. He hates pride. No one is truly poor in spirit if humility is absent. If humility is absent in your life, you have not assumed a position where you are poor in spirit. A person is not poor in spirit if they are not humble. Watch this now. Romans chapter 12, verse 16. I want you to walk with me. I'm going to give you some scripture on this because I want to help somebody out who thought they were rich. Watch this. I want to read this in the NLT because I like the way it translates it. It says, live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Y'all see that? Y'all know some people like that? Somebody say, yeah, I'm sitting right next to one. All right, keep your eyes straight. Amen. Don't be too proud to enjoy ordinary people. Some of y'all, watch this now. Some of us, we forgot where we came from. We started from the bottom, and God, the author of promotion, he promoted us on the job, and we got in a position where now we didn't forget where we came from. And people looking at us say, man, they was here just like me. Now look at them. What's going on? Never forget what you came from. Don't be so proud. Watch this now. And see, I'm talking to believers because you got to get this. You got to get some, for some reason, the idea that we cannot hang around ordinary people. I don't know where that comes from. Respectfully, I say this, and I want to ministers, pastors, so forth and so on. If you've gotten to a place where you cannot interact with your people, then you just need to find another place. What people who are in position, what people in position, they tend to forget is that, man, you a sheep yourself. You know, I might be the lead sheep, but I'm a sheep and I need a shepherd too. Thank God for my shepherd. I recognize that I'm poor in spirit. And I gotta, you gotta remain poor, because when you work with people, man, you gotta be poor in spirit so that the Spirit of God can work in and through you to demonstrate himself strong. And that might be the problem with some of us, is we're not poor enough. We think we got all the answers, and we need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. I'm telling you, man, when you're poor in spirit, you can forgive some folks. When you're poor in spirit, you ain't got to use all them words that you used to use in the world. When you're poor in spirit, you ain't got to say, well, I got caught up in my flesh. What do you mean you're getting caught up in your flesh? You should be walking in the spirit so that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, Matthew 18, 1 through 4, because I'm talking about being poor in spirit, because everybody, unfortunately, can't see their condition. In Matthew 18, verses 1 through 4, this is an incredible story of these disciples. And watch this. They're in church. Somebody say they're in church. Watch this now. Verse 1 says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And when he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Watch this. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Do y'all see that? It's not the accolades. It's who exercises humility. Jesus said, I didn't come into the world. I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. Now, Jesus said that he had a humble attitude, and he demonstrated that humble attitude. The disciples, they were learning this. They were learning the sons of thunder. They got in an argument, even got their mother tied up in it. Hey, is there a place reserved for my sons right next to you? And Jesus said, man, can they drink of the cup I'm finna drink of? And see, sometimes we don't know what it takes. And we want it, but we look at people, but we don't know what they've been through to get to where they are. We don't know how God allowed circumstances and situations to come into their lives to bring them to a place where they could be poor in spirit. Some of us are taking the same test because God is saying, you're too rich in spirit. You think it's everybody else, but it's me that gives you the breath to get up in the morning. It's me that give you that first step to get out of your bed. It's me. Somebody say, it's me. It's me. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. We know Proverbs 3, 5, 6. We know what it says. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. Acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he will make our paths known. But verse 7, notice what it says. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. See, the problem is when you do not become poor in spirit because you think you're wise in your own eyes. Put this in your margin. Proverbs 26 and 12. Give you some quivers, arrows for your quiver. He says, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool. Than for him. Anybody ever met anybody who's wise in their own eyes? Somebody say, run. Amen. Run, man, run, man. I don't need that counsel from you. You don't recognize that you're poor in spirit. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Watch this now. I'm talking about being poor in spirit. Watch this. He says, Paul says to the church at Corinth, he says, let no man deceive himself. Let no man deceive himself. Watch what it says. He says, if any man among you thinks that he is wise in this age, he must become foolish so that he may become wise. The only way that we become wise, the only way that we become contributors of the kingdom of heaven is when we first become poor in spirit. We got to become poor in spirit. Remember what James said in James chapter 4, verse 6? He said, he gives greater grace. We talked about that word grace earlier. He gives greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to who? Gives grace to the humble. Be honest with me. Anybody, Lord, I still need some work in the area of humility in my life. All right? Somebody dealing with pride right now. I ain't finna raise my hand. Okay. Watch this. Only those who truly encounter the Lord become poor in spirit. Only those who truly, somebody say truly. I'm talking about truly. I'm not talking about a one-time experience, but when you truly encounter the Lord, you become poor in spirit. In other words, those who have had a true encounter with the Lord are the only ones who can truly say that I'm spiritually poor. Remember in 2 Kings chapter 5, there's a man, and I'm going to get you to turn there quickly. In 2 Kings chapter 5, there's this man, a soldier, and he's the captain. His name is Naaman. And Naaman had great success on the battlefield. And watch this now. You can have success in every area of your life, but there'll come a time where you have to yield to God's will. And the way you do that is through being and recognizing that you're poor in spirit. But Naaman, he has this disease called leprosy. And leprosy is symbolic for sin. In other words, there was really no cure for leprosy. You had to walk around with that disease your whole life. And there was a little girl that was captured in the war, and she says and the word gets back to Naaman that, man, if he only could go to my man of God, he can be healed. And Naaman got wind of that, and he began to work out the system where he could go to where this man of God was. And he went to where this man of God was, and I want to pick it up here in the reading. Watch this now. In verse number 9, the Bible says, so Naaman, notice what he did. He came with his horses and his chariots, and he stood at the doorway of the house of Elisha. Now, not Elijah, but Elisha, his protege, who did two times the miracles of Elijah. Verse 10, Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan seven times, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you will be clean. Watch this. But Naaman was furious and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Naaman says, I got my Mercedes-Benz chariots. I done showed up with my best. And this man sends his servant out to tell me I'm a soldier. I'm the captain of my army. And here he comes out and don't even come out himself. And he sends his assistant to go tell me to go wash in the Jordan River. Man, do you know who I am? Find yourself in that now. I thought he was going to come out. He was going to wave his hand and I was going to be healed of leprosy. Sometimes, watch this, you got to be careful. Your breakthrough will come when you begin to take a position of being poor in spirit, not when somebody prays over you. Sometimes I want people to pray over me, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with prayer. Please understand what I'm saying. But sometimes we done been prayed over 20 times, and the issue is still there because we haven't dealt with being poor in spirit. And you're in the prayer line, and I'm not, please, y'all know how we do with prayer, and we're not against prayer at all. I believe a few weeks ago people got delivered and free because they were poor in spirit. We have to wave across, we have to do all that. They came and responded, and the testimonies that came out of that experience are incredible. But Naaman said, I ain't going to, what do you mean, I'm not going to no dirty Jordan River. You know who I am? Verse 13 says, then his servant came near and spoke to him and said, my father, had the prophet told you to do some great thing, would you have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Somebody say he was clean. He had an encounter with God. Man, when you have an encounter with God, remember it was Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah, the Bible says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. So the reason I couldn't become poor is because I had my eyes on the king and not the king. I'm living in a culture where I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. So therefore, I cannot focus on what the king of this world is doing. I got to begin to focus on the King of Kings. He says, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Isaiah's eyes were open. And notice what he says here in verse 2. Notice what he says. He says, seraphim stood. That's praising angels. All they do is praise. Seraphim, they stood above him, each having 6 wings. I couldn't see this before because my eyes were on the king of the earth. But when he died, I began to see some seraphims. Not only did I see seraphims, but I saw 2, he covered his face, and 2 covered his feet. And with 2, he flew, and 1 called out to another saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory, and the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out while the temple was filling with smoke. Watch this now. Here it is. When I'm poor in spirit, watch what happens. Then I said, whoa, woe is me, for I am ruined because I am a man of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the king, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the king, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah, he encountered the Lord and he became spiritually poor. He says, man, I'm a man of unclean lips. He started with himself. He didn't point at everybody else and say, Lord, you got me around all these people and they cussing and all that. He said, you're a man of unclean lips too. We're going to get to that in a minute because some of y'all don't say the cuss words, but y'all think them. Uh-huh. We'll get to that later. I'm all right, God, because I ain't say it. They said it. Reminds me of those men in the church. They're both praying to God, and one of them being a Pharisee, say, God, I'm better than this man. I give tithes. I fast. I'm not like this old poor man over here. And that old poor man that he was talking about in the church while they're praying to God, he said, Lord, have mercy on me, for I am a sinner, Lord. That's poor in spirit. When you're poor in spirit, you ain't worried about the person next to you, man. You need, Lord, it's me that needs the help, Lord God. It's me who is poor, Lord God. And Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips amongst a people of unclean lips. Only those who truly encounter the Lord become spiritually poor. Peter, remember Peter? Peter said in Luke chapter 5, Peter said, Lord, you want us to go out again? We've been fishing all night, and we haven't caught anything. He said, Lord, we know these seas like the back of our hands. I want you to preach, and we just going to do the fishing, okay? You just do the preaching. And he said, he finally got to a place where he says, nevertheless, at at your word, Lord God, we will launch out into the deep one more time. See, some of people are ready to give up, but you need to be obedient to what the Lord says, and you need to humble yourself and recognize that even though you got a degree in whatever you got a degree in, your degree can't do nothing when the Spirit of God gets involved to give you the wisdom that comes from heaven. And you need to humble yourself and recognize that it's not you, but the Spirit of God flowing in and through you that makes things happen. And then Peter said, you know what, Lord? He says, nevertheless, at your word, we will launch out one more time. We didn't work all day and all night. In verse 6 of Luke chapter 5, it says, when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled. This is what happens when you are poor in spirit. You can signal for your partners in the other boats for them to come and to help. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. Watch this. But when Simon Peter saw that, watch this now. He fell down at Jesus' feet saying, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. Have you ever come to that part of your life where you've humbled yourself and you recognize that in the presence of an almighty king who is creating the kingdom culture that you're a part of, that without him, you and I would be absolutely nothing? When you come to that place, you lay it all down and say, Lord, not only are you Savior, but you are Lord of my life. You're Lord of my body. You're Lord of my children. You're Lord of my job. You're Lord of my church. You're Lord of my community. You are Lord. And you don't make him Lord. He is already Lord. You just position yourself where you come under his lordship. You position yourself. Only those who are poor in spirit inherit the kingdom of heaven. Do you know you don't have to wait to experience heaven on earth? Some people are in the waiting game and they say, oh, on the by and by, Lord, when you call me home, and that's good. And there'll be some things we won't have to contend with. But man, when you're poor in spirit, you've now taken the first step into your eternity. And God, watch this now. That's why you can go through situations and circumstances with the joy of the Lord in your heart, because you recognize that he is the Lord of the circumstance. And you also recognize that, Lord, I've yielded this to you, and now you're in full control of it. We don't want to be like, as I bring this to a close, we don't want to be like the church of Laodicea. Remember Jesus in the book of Revelation? He goes and he ministers to these seven churches. He first starts at the church of Ephesus. And the church of Ephesus, he says, man, y'all looking good, but one thing y'all forgot to do, y'all have left your first love. And all these churches had their own unique issues, and he gets to this church in Laodicea. And Laodicea, man, they had it going on. They were the rich church. You couldn't tell them anything. They looked good. They had private parking for everybody, and they had plush seats. They had AC that came on, amen, and everything was looking real good, but they was missing something. Somebody said they were missing something. They were missing something. Watch this now. In the book of Revelation, beginning in verse 15 of chapter 3, it says, I know your deeds. This is Jesus speaking. He says, y'all look good, but I really know what's going on. He says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I spit you out of my mouth. Jesus says, you're a lukewarm church. You are, watch this now. We got to find ourselves in this. I'm talking about being poor in spirit. He's saying, you're shouting hallelujah, which is good. We want to do that, right? He says, you're getting your praise on, but there are people within your church and your community that you're not even trying to help. He says, This is the church, yeah, Laodicea. He says, you're shouting and you're getting your praise on, as we should. I'm not saying we shouldn't, but he says, I'm not even in the house. He says, behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. He says, y'all pray, who y'all worshiping? I'm not even there. I'm talking about being spiritually poor. He ends by saying this, watch this. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I spit you out of my mouth. Verse 17, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have no need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He says, you don't even know that you are wretched, that you are miserable, that you are poor, that you are blind, and that you are naked. Do you know that people can still be blind if they have eyes to see? Do you know that people can still be deaf if they have ears to hear? That's why the Lord, in these scriptures, he says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. And we can't hear nor see if we don't live poor in spirit. Only those who are poor in spirit will inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus looked at his disciples, he said, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Again, get your minds off the finances. For it is easy for a camel to go through the eye of a needle for a rich man to go to the kingdom of God. Paul said in Romans 14, 17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Here's my last thing. Thankfulness. Somebody say thankfulness. Thankfulness is an indicator that you and I are poor in spirit. Thankfulness, not complaining. How do you know you're poor in spirit? You're thankful for even the little things. You don't complain. I'm so encouraged in this body. The people who embrace our presence, and maybe you'll never know what they're going through because they don't have a complaining spirit. The best thing that you and I can do for Jesus to show that we're poor in spirit is to be thankful. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for my health, as good as it is. Thank you, Lord God. I might not have the clothes that I want in my closet, but I got some clothes in my closet. I might not be living in the house that I want to live in, but I got a roof over my head. Anybody thankful in this place this morning? Lord, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I live long enough to see what the doctor's report said. See, you got to, thankful in all things. I'm thankful in all things, man. And then you learn to be content in all things because you recognize that I'm poor in spirit. This morning, it's a simple exchange, people of God. It's to take your quote unquote rich heart and surrender it to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what to do here. Stop trying to make it everybody else think you know what you're doing. You don't know what you're doing. I don't know how many times I've came to the Lord myself and said, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. He says, okay, I can work with that. You have a contrite heart. David didn't know what to do after that great sin with Bathsheba? The prophet Nathan came to him and called him out and said, hey, you're the man. The man that I was talking about in that story, that the one that you wanted to kill, the one that you weren't going to have mercy on. What do you do when you're the man? David said, Lord, see, this is part of the kingdom culture. I've sinned against you and you alone. What about the other people that you offended? He said, let me start with you, God. Let me start with the vertical, and then you'll help me take care of the horizontal. But once God cleans your heart up, man, you can go, I'm telling you, people, God, and you can't even explain it. God will do a work in and through you where you can let go in order to go on to greater things.
Thank you for joining us today here on the New Generation Church Podcast. If you have questions regarding your faith in Jesus Christ, please visit our website at www.newgc.org/following-jesus. Be sure to watch on YouTube or subscribe to listen on iTunes, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. For additional information on New Generation Church, please visit our website at www.newgc.org. If you would like to give to this ministry, please text the word GIVE to 251-278-2225, or you can mail your gift to 1350 Cody Road, North Mobile, Alabama, 36608. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you real good is our prayer.